Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. The tale that it's based on is an international classic, yet author Ellen Potter is able to make it feel completely new and exciting. It's The Humming Room, and writing in line with the Secret Garden's plot, Potter brings us into a magical world set in Western New York on the islands in the St. Lawrence River. In her book, she finally crafts her own darker style of writing with the storyline of the Secret Garden and adds in twists and turns that keeps the reader guessing to the end, even though they know the story well.
Well, you know, my editor came to me with the idea. She didn't know that the Secret Garden has always been one of my favorite books. I thought that was kind of interesting. She thought a modern retelling would be something that I could do. You know, I have quite a bit in common with some of the qualities of the Secret Garden. I often deal with magic and cranky young girls. So there was a little bit of a precedence, and I jumped at the idea. I loved the idea. But when I actually sat down to write it, I realized what a psychological beast this thing was, being that it's one of the most beloved children's classics of all time, and here I was trying to retell it. So it was definitely the scariest book I've ever written, and the most exciting, I think.
I think scary is a good word, but what's nice is it's less of a retelling and more of a modern version.
Yeah, I think of it more as a reimagining. I was a little bit paralyzed in the beginning with writer's block, but I when I finally locked into a setting, then I kind of it sort of set me free a bit. I was living up in the Thousand Islands area of New York State, and I used to sit on the pier in this little town called Clayton, and that's where I did my writing. But I was sitting there trying to figure out a setting for this book and staring out at the St. Lawrence. And, you know, of course, the setting was right there in front of me, but I'm not always the sharpest knife in the draw. And it took me a little while to figure out, oh, okay, here the St. Lawrence is this vast stretch of moody, sort of violent water.
Hmm.
And we've got all these gorgeous, gothic-looking mansions on these islands that are spread out across the river, and it was just, finally it hit me, this is the perfect setting. And once I nailed the setting, I was able to kind of riff on the storyline. I stuck fairly closely to the storyline, but I was able to, you know, sort of a little bit of an improv. I just sort of took the original and changed bits and pieces, and obviously the characters, although they run alongside, they're sort of parallel to the original characters. There's quite a lot of differences. So it was more of a reimagining, I'd say.
And so our main character is Rue, and she has such an awful family. And I like how you have her so comfortable in those small spaces, because that's what makes her feel safe.
Exactly. And I thought it was, you know, it would be an interesting thing to place this girl who loves to hide both in a house that has a secret that's hidden. So she really is the perfect person to ferret it out. And also in an environment that's so open. You know, the river is just open and you're exposed when you're out there. So she has to face a lot of things in herself at the same time that she's trying to find this tucked away secret in the heart of this house and in within the family.
And with this river and all of the islands, and she's been relocated to Cough Rock, where her uncle has a home. And there is just so many wonderful myths and legends surrounding these islands and the river.
Yeah, the research I had to do for this book was fairly wonderful, because I really did get to go out on the river, talk to a lot of the local people, and obviously there's lots of stories that are connected to these mansions. So I pulled pieces of stories that I'd heard, and I also created the legend of the Fane, which is the boy who is sort of Dickens' counterpart, Jack. He's a boy who lives out on the river, and he's feral. And the more I wrote about him, the less human he seemed. He seemed more like a mythological creature, sort of like a Selkie. So I created a myth for him, which was a lot of fun. I'd never done that before. And you know, again, pulling things that I'd heard from local people into the mix as well. It's just the Thousand Island area is just so rich. There's been so many visitors coming in and out and very interesting people living in the area. So it was just a natural. And I often set my books in New York City. This was where I grew up. But I haven't lived there for quite a while. This was the first time I set a book in a place where I actually was living at the time I was writing it, which was fascinating and fun.
We get that in the book, just with the extra characters that come to the island to bring whatever supplies, whether it be the mail or a doctor's visit. And it just, the description that you have of the people and the islands and the river, it's magical within itself.
Oh, I'm glad that translated. That's great to hear.
There are a few other characters, and I love our Mrs. Medlock character, Ms. Valentine. When you first meet her, you're not really sure whether or not how close to the secret garden you would be, or in the sense of going off your own way. So there was a part of me that thought, I will never see you as a nice person, I don't think.
Yeah, she was a tough one. I mean, she's definitely hard and very, I think, very dismayed at what's going on in the house. And she cares very much about Rue's uncle, and she's sort of protective of him. I mean, she is, I didn't want to make her a villain. I hope she's fairly layered, but she was certainly, I suppose, the bad guy to a certain extent in the book. And then there's, you know, lovely Violet, who is, for a while, Rue's only friend in the house. She's sort of a voice of sanity, and she's got a lot of that local wisdom and tells Rue a lot of the local lore. All the characters from the original, I believe, are recognizable in my version, but hopefully they're different enough to make the telling worthwhile. That was a trick. It was very difficult to write a book that's so immersed in secrets. And it's a book that so many people know already, The Secret Garden. So I had to go back into these secrets that are already known and try and make them fresh and surprising, so that the garden itself had to be in an interesting location and the journey to it had to be compelling, which I hope it was. There's all kinds of secret passageways and chutes and some of the backstory was slightly different from the original too, so that it would have a little bit of a fresher feel.
Definitely does, because even with the thought of the secret garden back in my mind, I still didn't know where it was going to go or how different places would play out. And I have to say, you did a very good job with some of the creepiness.
Good. Setting it in a defunct tuberculosis sanitarium, I sort of, right there, you know, this place is going to have some ghosts.
Yeah.
And, there was one of the reasons I set it there is I'd read, I was scoping out some ghost stories, and I read of a really highly haunted house that had once been a tuberculosis sanitarium, and they had a body chute in there, which seemed so creepy, goose pimply. And it was a chute where I guess they wanted to hide the losses, and they would sort of take the people who had passed away and put them down a chute that went right to the basement, and they would bury them very quickly to hide that they actually weren't healing that many people. So that was a really interesting device that I was able to put into the book. And, you know, I always have ghosts in my books, and this particular story seemed to be rife with the ghosts in the house. I love writing about that.
I'd have to say Rue is so much more brave than I would be. I mean, that whole scene when she found the shoe, I was just thinking, oh no, please don't go down it.
I know. My characters are always much braver than I am. Much braver. I guess I live through them. Yes. And the other thing, too, that I changed in the book slightly, and it was just sort of a wishful thinking, kind of a book nerd's wishful thinking, is that in the original, I'd always wanted Dickon and Mary to fall in love. And there was sort of like a little squeak of a romance, but it was so light you could miss it. And in this one, Jack and Rue do have a sort of young, sweet romance, which was, that part was a lot of fun for me to write. It's sort of like, yeah, this is what I wanted to happen all along. So that was great.
Oh, I'm so there with you. And one of the things about the book, and I think, well, that makes it that much more wonderful, is that relationship between Rue and Jack and how she's always had this uncanny connection to the earth and living things. And then Jack, he has his animal friends that just understand him and he understands them. So it just seems like the perfect friendship.
Exactly. They're two, both of them are sort of half savage and very much alone. And of course, Rue's cousin as well, the three of them. They sort of really need to find each other because each in their own way, they're so isolated. So I love that. I think in my version, the children are a little bit more raw and wild, and they come together because they desperately need each other.
This is a wonderful book. The name of it is The Humming Room. Ellen, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was lots of fun.
Again, the name of Ellen Potter's book is The Humming Room. It is published by Fywell & Friends. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.